word consecrate is the Hebrew word kadesh. It means holy. It means set apart. So he's telling the people, get ready for worship. I can imagine the people going into their tents thinking, why do we need to take baths? In Exodus 19, Moses told the people to do the same thing right before they received the Ten Commandments. He said, before you gather together to receive what the Lord has revealed, living God. And Joshua says, you're going to know that the living God is what? He's among you. The God of all the earth, and he's called that twice, has chosen to make his home with you because he delights in you. And he says this, he will assuredly kick out the Canaanites and all the other ites, right? Perizzites, Hittites, my kids are the Hollandites. I don't know what ites you have in your household, but sometimes the ites get in the way, and God is saying, trust me with these. God gives you his presence. This has been his design from the beginning. He created you so that you might spend time with him, so that you might know him, so that you might be known by him. And this theme unfolds over and over again in Scripture. God revealed himself to Abraham. God stayed with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, with Joseph. People would see and they would say, I can see that the Lord is with you. Then God has his people, takes them into the wilderness, and think about this ark that they're carrying. What is it? It's this wooden box covered in gold with a solid gold lid called the mercy seat. It contains the Ten Commandments written on stone, the law, the symbol of God's promise, of God's requirement of righteousness. It contains a bowl filled with manna, that bread that came down from heaven that God used to feed the people. It contains the rod of Aaron that sprouted leaves, and God used that as a sign to show that he chose Aaron and his descendants to be the high priests of Israel, they're the ones who would go and represent the nation before God. They would come into God's holy presence with that blood from the annual atoning sacrifice, and they would sprinkle it on that mercy seat, which was the throne where God decided to reside. God decided to reside not on a judgment seat over his people, but on a mercy seat. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because he delights in you. He wants to be among you. He wants to be with you. And also, that ark represents our Savior, God's mercy embodied in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man. And just like the ark contained these items, Jesus Christ, these things are found in Jesus Christ. He fulfills the law completely. The law was given to us not so that we would attain perfection, but so that we would know we need a Savior. None of us could keep the law. We've all fallen. We've all fallen short. We all need help. We're all broken. All of us. Your cheese has fallen off your cracker. You need help. Jesus also calls himself the bread that came down from heaven. He calls himself the bread of life. He says you have to eat his flesh. What does that mean? It means partake of him. Receive him. That's what the manna was a picture of. That rod of Aaron pointed to Jesus Christ, our high priest. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus is the best high priest, better than the Aaronic priesthood. He's the high priest who will never die. He makes a sacrifice, that atoning sacrifice, not every year like Aaron had to do, but once and for all. And he entered into the Holy of Holies in heaven, and he sprinkled his own blood on the ark that was in heaven and satisfied the wrath of God, the wrath that we deserve because of our rebellion, not because God hates us, but because we rejected him and went from a place from relationship and life to brokenness and death. And God is saying, I'm bringing you back into fellowship if you only trust in me. Our relationship is not one of performance, but one of faith. It's one where God says, rest in me. When he led the people in the wilderness with that pillar of fire, or that cloud by day, he would show them where they would encamp, and over again it says where they would rest. God wants to show you where you can rest. He wants you to come to the mercy seat, which is found in Jesus Christ. In Jesus is the presence of God revealed to you, and when you trust in him, revealed in you. God gives us his presence. And this story ends with this. Revelation chapter 21 says, John says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. You, church, are the bride of Christ. And I heard a loud voice coming from the throne. This is God saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they will be his people, and God himself shall be among them. Later on in that chapter, it says there was no temple, for God was there. Ezekiel names the same city, and he says the city was called God is There. Our future is glorious, and it's with him forever. He wants you, just as rejoices over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. So stop worrying and rather exalt him with a loud singing, because God reveals all that you need to know for your faith journey. He's not asking you to take some blind step. Our faith is not blind. We don't operate by blind faith. God has revealed himself, and those who have trusted in God for any amount of time will come and testify to you. It's true. It's been proven, because faith, the proof of faith is what? It's action. It's faith steps. It's not hiding behind a small 3-foot wall that we think we can never climb over. God is saying, just leap over that and you'll see that I'm there ready to catch you if need be. I will hold you through this entire journey. Verse 13 says, it shall come about that when the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters shall be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down shall stand in one heap. God reveals what's going to happen to Israel before they even get there. He's not going to surprise them. Hey, guys, I've got a surprise for you. Just wait, and just wait and watch, and you'll see how wonderful I am. That's not the kind of God that we have. He doesn't ambush you. He wants you to know what's going to happen next, step by step. He might not give you the whole story, but I can tell you and I can testify from my own experience, when I do know the whole story, I mess it up. When God has shown me how things are going to happen or convicted me, this is what I need to do, my flesh crawls the other way. God says, it's not about the check boxes that you got to check off. It's not about the roadmap that you got to make sure you're following inch by inch. It's about relationship. It's him. Don't trust in the map. Don't trust in your performance. Trust in the person of Jesus Christ. Finally, we see that God opens the way for you as you get your feet wet. That's what he's calling for you now. Don't be paralyzed. In verse 14, it says, it came about that the people, they did go down. They left their tents. I think they packed their tents up. They're taking them with them. They left the campsites, and they went across the Jordan with the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people. This is a picture of you following Jesus. Jesus is not telling you to go somewhere where he hasn't gone. The presence of God is going before the people. Those who carry the ark, they came in, and it says in verse 15 that when their feet were dipped at the edge of the water, and then there's a pause. Very strange. I love it when God writes his word in a very specific way through his spirit, because he wants to highlight something. We've not talked about what's going on in the Jordan River, but now something happens. So God does open the way as you get your feet wet. He's calling you to act on what you believe. Act, because acting on what you believe is the proof of your faith. So here the people do it. This is faith in motion. And just as faith gets into motion, what happens? So often you've been preparing to take a certain step of faith. God is readying you. He's been providing for you. And then there's a hiccup. In 1998, I was a summer intern here at Mountain View. It was after my junior year of college, and I felt that the Lord was calling me into ministry. So I came here and worked with Ron Lager, who is now my father-in-law. So the Lord was calling me into more than just ministry. did worry. But the Lord doesn't always work in the same way twice. But what he was teaching me was that, you know, just as you're ready to take that confident step of faith, an obstacle will come. God uses these obstacles to teach you that he is able. And that's why he doesn't always work the same way in your life. And what is the obstacle here? You see the people in verses 14 and 15, they're moving towards the river. It's like there's a movie camera looking at the 2 million people, and it pans over to the four priests carrying the ark, and then it zooms in at their feet, and just as the feet step into the water, it's that 1 second that seems to take for eternity, and you're wondering, when's the sermon going to end? And then the camera pans back out, but rather than looking at the people, it looks at the river. This is a picture of the Jordan River in 2010, a raging flood. The Jordan River